pastor of Pioneer Memorial Church. Some events happened without any explanation, but my dad was let go because of hearsay from a woman. Message to all of you pastors, do not be alone with another woman. That's a man or a woman, not with a man. Because people's lives can be destroyed. It destroyed ours. I said, I don't want anything to do with this church. And the shame that was brought upon our family. We hung our heads in shame as we had to leave town in the middle of the night. I could have stayed, but I said, I don't want anything to do with this. My dad loved God. He was a passionate man. He said, I want to serve you always, and he still did, even when they kicked him out. He still was a Sabbath school leader, loved, had passion for people. So he never, ever got discouraged. Yea, though you walk me through the valley, I will fear nothing. And that was my dad's motto. Unfortunately, I said, I don't want anything to do with this. So I became a Jonah for about 2 weeks. Then I became a prodigal son for 38 years. I'm not going to glorify what I did, but you name it, I've done it. And so that's why I stand amazed 40 years ago back. And I don't know if this message has anything to help you with, but I want to talk to the pastors. Your primary church is your family. Because if you don't have a healthy family, guess what? People know. How can you preach to me when you can't even have your own house? And so when you have your house in disorder, you can't go anywhere. You can't be effective. And so when you take a look at what has happened, you know, we're talking about society, and I can say this, is going to hell in regards to the love of Christ. And so what happens is we get so hung up in our addictions. Yes, I'm an addict. You don't need to be. I love to say to all the elder sons here, we had worship about the prodigal son, but the elder sons, I also thank you for being stable. So with that in mind, I have just a few minutes to share what has happened in my life. As Esther shared, I lost my wife in 2006. The struggle with that and having two almost adult children. I lost her to cancer. Unfortunately, our marriage was not rosy. She was your typical Al-Anon, I was the typical alcoholic. The rocks in her head filled the holes in mine. Basically, we were contentious. And it wasn't until she passed away that I realized the answer, the reason why did this happen, was the fact it brought me back to Jesus, because she was already headed there. I got remarried. I won't go into my high school, I won't go into any all that, but I had a calling, like I said, I thought to Christ after he'd saved me from almost losing my life in my high school. But like I said, I left, and I got remarried to a lovely wife. Then my journey towards home began. About a year or two after I was remarried to my second wife, I started going sideways. And we both liked to party. Think about it, 48-year-old and a 52, big deal. But anyway, she was about ready to set me on my mother's doorstep, because when my wife died and moved out, my son took over the house. My son got the inheritance before I passed away, but it was Julie's last wish that she could see the children get some of the inheritance. So anyway, I moved out, moved over to my mother's, and finally my mom got tired of me and said, you know, I want you to maybe go out and date a little. I said, well, Mom, I haven't done it in 30 years. My first wife and I were married almost 30. And she said, no, I'll even pay for it for the first month on Adventist Singles Online. So I met my wife on Adventist Singles Online. It was a beautiful relationship to begin with, but then we started fighting and arguing. God wasn't in our life. We were just, like I said, partying all the time, and I was reverting back to my alcoholism. And so she said, I'm about ready to pay you back. Actually, it was 2010. We were at our ropes. We'd only been married for only about 4 years. She said, I'm not going to put up this anymore. Either we got to do something or it's done. I literally stumbled into a leave-ending seminar. I was drunk. For those that don't know Lee, he had a powerful message. It's all about Jesus. It hit me on Wednesday. He had this message that started on Sunday. He said, Jesus has never left you. That made sense. Jesus has never left you. He wants to be your friend. Friday, I loved his appeal. He didn't have one. And he said, the choice is up to you. Do you want him to be your friend? I desired that because all through my life I was never good enough. Especially when you're a PK. Should you be doing that? You know? Or my mom and dad would say, you know, you're embarrassing us with your past behavior. Like I said, I was a hellion from the get-go. But yet I had this small conversion experience back in college. But I didn't have a relationship. A relationship with Jesus as my friend. People have hurt me. I've been despised. I've been made fun of, but I stand amazed because I should be dead today of my behaviors. Like I said, God loves me. And you can say that to yourself. Say it. God loves me. Yeah, not anybody else but you. It was said, you know, you have the, Brother Joe talked about having, God has a picture of you in his heart. And I love Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you, I knew you. He knew Richard. That's what hit me. He knows me. I have this in the front. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He has the plans, folks. Sometimes it takes 40 years. It takes 40 years because I'm stubborn. You know, I picture my God as a I picture my God as a bulldog. When I was running into bushes of ill repute, when I was in the bar, and he kept pulling me out of the ditch. And when you're pulled out of the ditch, he's only going to give you so many chances, folks. After a while, he could harden your heart, but praise God he didn't with me. But to take a look at where I've come from and to where I am here today, like I said, I stumbled into Lee Vengeance and I started a relationship journey. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I hated the first week of studying the Bible. You know, I've always read the Bible that, you know, for some proof. Using it for proof doesn't give you a relationship. And so what happens is I started reading, and I hated it the first day. What am I reading? I've read this before. Yeah, but Jesus told me, did you listen to me? You know, did you listen to me? Did you really, really understand what I am trying to tell you? And so when I took a look at what Lee suggested, he said to use a little soap in your studies. See, too many times, and I hope I don't get in trouble by the NAD, I do not like going through the Bible in a year. Because then you're on a race for righteousness and piety. Not having a relationship as a result of what you're studying. And so when I took a look and started reading what he had to say to me, it made me feel real special. And it made me that he wants to be my God and my Savior. I want you to turn, or just if you have your Bible, Zechariah, we read it for scripture. I want to unpack it just a little bit while I have a little bit of time. I got so excited, I got my Bible marker messed up. So bear with me, Zechariah. And he showed me Richard, the high priest. You do know that we are all called, whether you're pastors or not, sons and daughters of Christ the priest. We all have a message. But he showed me Joshua, showed me Richard, the high priest, standing before Jesus. And guess what? Standing at the right hand with what? Satan. So as I took my journey back, he says, devil, you could use him. He's dirty. He's not even worthy of your name. And he says, the Lord Satan said to Satan, what? Rebuke you. I don't have to be guilty anymore of what I've done in the past. What I've done in the past has no merit. Now Richard was standing with dirty clothes. He said, I plucked him out of the fire. Put your name in it. He plucked you out of the fire. And put on what? A new robe. And he says to do what? Take away the robes that you are wearing, the dirty ones. He didn't say just cover it. He said, take it. And I have removed your iniquity from you. And I will clothe you with rich robes. Your rich robes. It's your Bible. Your Savior. Doesn't matter where you come from. I want to close with this illustration because I have more to my story. If you want to hear more, fine. I'll talk to you afterwards. But I want you to picture this. God has his own laptop. He is standing in front and looking at the screen. And my name pops up. He says, boy, that's a big list he's got going there. Look at all these wrongs, and look at everything he's done, and he's done everything that's under the sun that shouldn't even be mentioned. And also some of my righteous pieties there, too. And he's looking at that also. Said, You know what? He allowed me to control his life. Now follow me here. Control key. He allowed me to control his life. And as he allowed me to control his life, I will alternate and alter his life. And after all that, he says, I'm going to press delete. He says, delete. It's gone. He said, I cast it into the ocean. You can't even see it. Yeah. That gave me courage after I read Zechariah. And then you take a look, he deleted. And not only that, he said, I'm going to take my life and I'm going to cut and paste it on Richard. So if you take a look at how great our God is, to know that 40 years ago I left and he brought me back. And I only know we talked about ages in our class. You know, I'm old. God gonna keep me alive as long as he wants me to tell the message. And it isn't gonna be about the 28 doctrines. It's gonna talk about the grace of God and how we love God. And we do want to share those doctrines eventually. But give them the grace and the power. I want to have you all sing, How Great Thou Art.
Amen. We'll stand to your feet. We will sing the first. and last stanza of how great thou art. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear